Would everyone stand for our Bible affirmation, please?
This is a good day because this is the day the Lord has made. But this is not an easy day. It's not an easy day to be here to say goodbye to so many of you who we love and care for and who we've plowed some good ground with here in Muskegon over these last years. And to be here with my brother, Pastor Duren, and Sister Ardina, and Abiade, and Nancy, and others, Michael Pollock, who's come today. Michael's here, and Kristen, and just some very, very special people to us. We are very grateful. And we are so grateful for the expressions of love that we've shared together over these last years and the ministry that we've done together. And so we will always have you in our hearts. I want to invite you to pray for us through these next months. This assignment in Kansas is an interim position. We're going to go help a church that's really struggling. A little church in central Kansas that's having a hard time. And we're going to help them over these next few months. And as we do that, we'll be seeking whatever God has for us next full time. We don't know what that is, but we know that God holds our future in our hands. He holds our future in his hands. And so we invite your prayers for us and your continued expressions of love and care for us as you lift us up. And know that as we leave here, we will be lifting you up on a regular basis. Every Sunday, I pray for Pastor Duren. And I pray for this church as you gather together and you worship together. And what I see out here is just an amazing testimony to what God is doing through Kingdom Embassy and the ministry here. When I think of that little group of people that a few years ago met at Forest Park Covenant Church, and I look out on this, I say, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. And I love to worship here, and I'm glad that my last Sunday here is with you. I've oftentimes said to Arthur and to Abiade, I think I was born in the wrong culture. And today affirms that for me again, as it always does when I'm here. And so I am grateful. I am grateful that God has us here with you this morning. Let's go to him in prayer. God, as we gather around your word this morning, we pray that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what you would have for us. What you would have for this church family. Moving into the future, as this church family continues the vision of knowing you more intimately and growing in their relationship with you, and then going out into the world to reach others for you. God, would you bless this word this morning to our hearing and to our understanding through the power of your Holy Spirit, and in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people in agreement said, amen. Amen. As I thought over these last couple weeks, what I would want to share with you in a last message here to you this morning, I thought about a challenge that I believe God laid on my heart that he wants me to leave with you. And it really begins with a couple questions that I think we need to answer in our life. And the first question is, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Has there been a moment in your life where you have trusted Christ in faith for forgiveness of sin, for that amazing love and grace that we sang about earlier? Has there been that moment in your life? That may be a fairly easy question to answer, but maybe perhaps for you the second question is not so easy or not so quickly answered, and it is, are you a disciple or are you truly a follower of Jesus Christ? Have you surrendered your life to his discipleship? Is he the first priority in your life? Or are you giving God the leftovers? Is he first in your life? And maybe while we're able to answer that first question easily, we think about as we hear this second question, well, what does it mean to surrender my life to Jesus? What does that look like? And if you have your Bibles with you, I want to invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. And today we're going to begin in verse 18 and go through chapter 5, verse 2. And this story that we're going to look at this morning comes before perhaps one of Jesus' most well-known teachings on what it means to be his follower, what it means to be his disciple, the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount that's found in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And I want to encourage all of us today, after this message, to go home and sometime this week, read through these three chapters in Matthew, because there Jesus teaches his followers what it means to be his disciple, what it looks like to live truly as his follower. But today we want to get started on looking at this story of Jesus' call and see what it says to you and to me and a Kingdom Embassy as we go into this world to live out this vision of know, grow, and go. And I want to say to us this morning that when we get a picture and an understanding and we are living as followers of Jesus and we're surrendering our lives to his discipleship, then when we get that part of life right, a lot of the rest of life is going to fall into place, isn't it? If we get our surrendering to Jesus right and we're surrendering our lives to the way he wants us to live, then we're going to begin to get it right in our marriage relationships if we're married. We're going to begin to get it right in our family life and in our friendships or in our work life or our student life if you're a student in school. We're going to begin to get it right in all of our involvements and our responsibilities. You see, if you and I see ourselves as a follower or a disciple of Jesus Christ first, in other words, if before I am a husband, I am a follower of Jesus. If before I'm a dad, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. If before I am a pastor, or you put in whatever it is that you do in your vocation and work, we are a disciple of Jesus Christ. When the discipleship question is answered correctly and lived out in our lives, the rest of our life is going to come together. It's going to come together. But that can only happen when Jesus is the center point of our life. When Jesus is our first priority. And so today, let's look at these verses that are just before the Sermon on the Mount and see what they say to us. From Matthew 4, beginning in verse 18, we have the story of Jesus calling his first disciples to him. And this is what it says. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. And they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said. "And I will send you out to fish for people." And at once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. And Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. In this story that Matthew records in his gospel, Jesus calls his first disciples. And this story offers us some insight into what it means to be a follower of his, to be a disciple of Jesus. And the first thing we see here is that if you and I are truly a follower, truly a disciple of Jesus, then we are going to hear him when he calls us. Do you see that in verses 18 through 21? It talks about how Jesus is walking along the side of the Sea of Galilee, and he comes across two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew, and they're fishermen. They're casting their nets out into the lake, and he says, "Hey, you come and follow me." And then a little bit later, he comes across James and John, two other brothers, and they're in the boat also preparing nets to fish with their father. And he calls them. And what this tells us is that everyone who is a genuine follower of Jesus, everyone who is truly a disciple of Jesus, is going to be able to say, "There's been a time when I've heard him call me to follow him as his disciple." Now realize that we're not talking here about calling us to God's grace and salvation, to first trusting in him. Because understand that what's going on here is these guys are followers of God already. These guys are people who've grown up in a faith in God. They've grown up every Sabbath in the synagogue. They've grown up loving God and learning to love God and growing and studying the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. They went regularly to the synagogue. And here, what Jesus is doing is he's calling them to take their faith to another level, to grow in their faith, to become like him, to surrender their lives to his discipleship so that they can go out into the world in which God calls them to live and to serve him, and they can live a life of his truth, living the way he wants them to live. But they can also then live a life of service to him and to others. And back then, Jesus was walking around as a physical person, and so those guys were able to physically hear him call them. But how does Jesus call you and me today? He calls us through his word. Through that word that we just talked about being the guide of your life and mine. And Jesus calls us in his word that was written down some 2,000 years ago to be his disciples. It's just like later in the book of Matthew where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and I will, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And we read this text, and we read this at funerals, and we say, yes, Jesus is there for us in the midst of the burdens of life. But do we realize that this is really a call to discipleship? Because you see, back then in that day, the rabbis who taught, their teachings that they would teach the people were called the yoke. They would use the image of the yoke that was put around the oxen's neck to help them plow the field, to talk about the teachings that the rabbi would teach them. And unfortunately, back in that day, much like in the church today, God's people tend to put all kinds of rules and regulations and do's and don'ts when Christianity really isn't that. Christianity is really about the simple gospel of Jesus Christ and how he loves us and wants a relationship with us. And into that culture, Jesus is saying, hey, I know you want, all these other rabbis are calling you to follow their yoke and all these 600 rules and regulations, but I'm telling you, the gospel isn't rocket science. The gospel is about my love for you. And so come and follow me, because the burden I will put on you is easy, it's light. I love you. And so Jesus is calling you and me to come and be his followers, his disciples. And I would ask us today, Kingdom Embassy Covenant Church, and I would ask you as individuals, have you decided to truly be a disciple of Jesus? Have you responded to his call to surrender your lives, not just to trust him in faith and be a believer, but take that next step and become a disciple of his? Well, not only does Jesus tell us and show us in this story that we need to hear him when he calls us, but it also, I believe this story shows us that we follow him where he leads us, right? You and I then follow him where he leads us. To Peter and Andrew, Jesus says, come and follow me, and I'll send you out to fish for people. And it says, at once they left their nets, and they what? Followed him. To James and John, the Bible says Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father, and what did they do? They followed him. Now, in our day, we read this, and we don't necessarily grasp this because we read this through 21st century eyes. But in that day, when a person was a disciple of a rabbi and they followed him, they followed him. And it wasn't just a few hours a day or even just once a week on a Sunday morning in church at 11 o'clock. But what they did was they followed him so closely. There is this expression that they used back then, and that was that you walked in the dust of the rabbi. That when you followed a rabbi who had called you and you had answered that call, you followed them so closely that when they kicked up the dust in that dusty culture with their sandals, you got covered with their dust. And so you see, the goal of being a follower of Jesus, the goal of following him as our rabbi, is not just simply knowing what he knows, but it's becoming who he is. It's becoming who he is. And how does a disciple of Jesus really become like him? The Bible tells us that we spend time with him, and we spend time in every imaginable situation asking, Jesus, what would you do? And we follow him and we know him. You know, if you ever go to Israel and you see rabbis and their disciples with them, you'll see at times the disciples sleeping in the same room with their rabbis, eating at the same table with them, praying with them, crying with them, laughing with them, walking and traveling with them. When the rabbi is angry, they sit and they watch him because they want to become like him. They want to see how he responds in that moment of anger. When the rabbi is happy, they sit and they watch what he does because they're saying, I want to become like the rabbi. And so the question for you and me today is, are you and I wanting to become like Jesus? Are we willing to follow him where he leads us? And so I ask us, how much time do we spend on a regular basis each day or during the week listening for his direction, opening his word to us, and listening to his teaching? How much time do we spend in solitude and silence before him, being in his word? You see, if you and I are a disciple of Jesus, we have to be a listener in order to be a follower. We've got to listen to him in his word. And the only way that we're going to be able to do that is to be in his word. So that, like Romans 12:2 tells us, we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds as we are in God's word. And so we spend time with him, and we listen to him, and we see how Jesus responds in every situation. And as we do, as we follow him where he leads us, we can become like him. And this naturally then leads us to the next insight from this story, and that is that if I am a disciple of Jesus, I learn from him when he teaches me. It means we hear him when he calls us, we follow him where he leads us, and then we learn from him as he teaches us. Did you notice in verse 23, it told us the things that Jesus did. It said Jesus went through Galilee, and what was he doing? He was teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. And it said that large crowds gathered around him, and his disciples came to him. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 2, it says he began to teach them. One of the principal things that Jesus is always doing in his life and ministry is teaching. And so that is a characteristic of a disciple, in that we are learners. We are growing in our faith as we learn. And so as we think about that this morning, I kind of want to do a Kingdom Embassy poll. I don't know if you ever do this, Pastor Durham, but I want to ask a Kingdom Embassy poll, and you can kind of raise your hands. But let me ask you, how many of you have ever devoted a Friday night or a Saturday to going to a football game or some sort of a game, and maybe even you spent the whole day as you went and you tailgated, maybe when the Big Reds were in the championship, you went over to Detroit and you tailgated a bit and you spent the whole... Any of you ever spend a whole day doing something like that? Okay, lots of you have, okay. Those of you who aren't football fans, any of you ever go spend a whole day at the mall shopping, right? Okay, for some of you others that maybe like to do that instead of football games, you know? How many of you ever spent a day in the woods, either hunting or fishing on a boat or on a river, right? I mean, and all this stuff is good stuff, and we devote ourselves to it. But can I ask you, how many of us consider spending an hour or two on a Sunday morning, every Sunday morning, here at church, listening to the teaching of God's word through a wonderful teacher? How many of us come on Wednesday nights and spend time listening to God's word being taught? How many of us spend time each day opening up God's word and listening to the teachings of Jesus? Are you and I willing to invest that kind of time so that we can learn? So that we can learn as the Master teaches us. A true follower of Jesus hears God when he calls us to take our faith to another level. We follow him where he leads us. We learn from him when he teaches us. And then fourthly, this story tells us that if I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, I join him then in making more disciples. And that's the whole point, right, of know, grow, go. We get to know God more intimately so that he begins to change and transform our lives so that we can, as we go deeper in our relationship with him, go further in mission out into the world in which God has called us to live. And do we see this in verse 19? Jesus says, come and follow me, and I will do what? I will send you out to fish for people. To fish for people. He begins, it's interesting to me that he begins his relationship with them in this call to him by saying, hey, this is what the result of you being a disciple is going to be. You're going to go fish for people. You're going to go out and reach people for me. And it's not only interesting to me that he begins his relationship with them, but he also ends his time on earth with him saying the same thing. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus shows this isn't just a throwaway line that we're going to go fish for people. As he comes to his disciples before he goes to heaven, and he says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You see, Jesus came and he made disciples. And he wants us as his followers, as his disciples, to join him in his work. The scripture says about Jesus that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. He came to give himself, his life, for others. And as he does that, it is interesting to me, and I think this speaks to us, and it's why I love the ministry that Terrio and Latasia do here in church, and why I love the ministry of children's pastors and youth ministry people all around, is that Jesus came, and he reached out not just to older people, but he especially focused on young people. Do you realize that? He especially focused on young people. And we know that because we look at the disciples and we see paintings of the disciples, and what do we see? We see a bunch of 45-year-old guys with beards, okay? That's not who his disciples were. Do you realize that? Do you know that Jesus' disciples were teenagers? They were teenagers. They weren't 45-year-old guys with beards. I mean, think about it. People will say when they hear that, well, what about Matthew? He was a tax collector. Hey, a tax collector in that day wasn't some guy that sat in an IRS office writing papers and having to do all that. Tax collecting that day was putting, you know, coming alongside the fisherman, getting down on your knee beside him, counting the fish and saying, hey, okay, you need to take five or six of those and go into town and then sell them and bring me the tax money. Matthew could do that at 14, 15, 16 years old. And listen to Matthew 10:42. Anyone who gives a cup of cold water in my name to these little ones who are known to be my disciple receive his reward. And that phrase, little one, in the original language in which the Bible was written is the word for adolescent. Jesus is saying anybody who gives a cup of cold water to these high school kids who are known to be my disciples will get their reward. Will get their reward. And we know that John was the youngest of the disciples. And the word in the Bible about John, when it says that he is the disciple who Jesus loved, is a word in the Greek that means pre-adolescent. John was somewhere between 10 and 12, 13 years of age. And in John 21:5, when Jesus sees his disciples fishing out on the shore, our Bibles say that Jesus said, hey, friends. It's not a good translation. The word actually is the word pedia. It's children. What he was saying was, hey, boys. Hey, kids. Have you caught any fish? Peter was probably the oldest. And we know that from Matthew chapter 20. In Matthew chapter 17, we know that Peter was probably 20, 21 years old. He was about the oldest. Because Peter comes with his disciples to Jesus, and he says, hey, Jesus, we need to pay the temple tax for the year. And the temple tax in that day was half a shekel per every adult over 20 years old, every adult male. And Jesus tells him what? Go fishing, Peter. And Peter goes out, and he catches a fish, and he comes back, and in the fish's mouth is what? One shekel. One shekel. Here's half a shekel each, Peter, for you and for me. Where's the temple tax for the other disciples? They didn't need it. They weren't 20 years old yet. And what this is telling you and me, Kingdom Embassy Covenant Church, is that if we are going to join Jesus in making disciples and go fish for people, yes, we reach out to the adults in this community and we don't ignore them, but it means we've got to be looking around especially and seeing that next generation of kids who God is wanting to call into his kingdom. Because when you take the kingdom of God like Jesus did and put it into the hands of a bunch of on-fire teenagers, watch out, world. This world is going to change. And so if I am a disciple of Jesus and you are a disciple of Jesus, we've got to be going out as that last part of the vision statement says. And we have to be especially reaching out to those young people. That's why I love what you two do. And I love Sister Duren and others who are here. What you do at 3 o'clock or 3:30 in the afternoon on that after-school program is you're reaching out. And you're showing that Kingdom Embassy is not just a club for Christians to come. But it's a place where you are truly followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. In closing, I want to tell you a story, and I don't know if you've ever heard the name Nantucket Island, but Nantucket Island is kind of a famous island off the coast of Massachusetts, and it's famous in our country's history because it was the first of the whaling communities where fishermen would go out and they would get whales, because in that day, whale oil was so important to lighting people's homes and to energy. And there's this museum on Nantucket Island that Vanessa and I went to several years ago. And in that museum, I was amazed to see some of the displays devoted to an organization that got started a couple centuries ago. In those days, travel by sea was super dangerous, as violent storms came up pretty easily. The ships weren't very big. And if you know anything about the New England coast, that's where I grew up, where Vanessa grew up. It's a really rocky coast. And so oftentimes lives would get lost just a short distance away from shore as ships would crash on those rocks in the midst of a storm. And back a couple hundred years ago, a group of volunteers on Nantucket Island went into the life-saving business. And they began what was known back then as the Humane Society. That's what they called it. And what they did was they built little huts of refuge all along the coast of Nantucket. And they had people in those huts when storms would come up. And whenever the storms came up and a ship was in trouble, the word would go out and the volunteers would risk their lives and go out in these little boats to save as many people as they could. And they did it for no pay, no money, no recognition, simply because they prized human life. And it was funny to me, interesting, to remind them of what was at stake and how serious they were. They adopted this motto that I really love, and the motto was this: you have to go out, but you don't have to come back. Those are sobering words, aren't they? And you wouldn't think it'd be a very good recruiting slogan, but it was. People loved it. You know, you got to go out, but you don't have to go back, come back. And it's a fascinating thing in this museum to read all these accounts of people who had risked their very lives to save people who they had never met, faces they had never seen. But over time, history tells us that things began to change, as after a while, the Coast Guard got started. And at first, the Coast Guard and the Humane Society worked hand in hand, side by side. But then ultimately the attitude began to creep into people: let the professionals do it. Let the professionals do it. They're better trained. That's what they're paid for. And volunteers stopped manning the little huts and stopped searching the coastline for sinking ships, stopped sending out teams of people to rescue drowning folks. But it's interesting that they couldn't disband. They couldn't disband. Do you realize that that society still exists today? And every year they continue on a yearly basis to have a dinner in Boston, Massachusetts, and they enjoy each other's company and they give out awards for community service. They still exist, but they're just not in the life-saving business anymore. They're not in the life-saving business anymore. Can I tell you that I believe this happens in churches all over our country today? I've seen it. I've seen it in churches around our country. And it just doesn't happen in a day. It just doesn't happen in a month. It just doesn't even happen over a year. But over time, people forget what they're here for. That as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are in the life-saving business. And these churches still exist, but they say, let the paid professional do it. That's what we pay him for. And when we do that, we are not truly disciples of Jesus Christ. When people in churches continue to meet and get together and enjoy each other's company and have some services and run some programs, but forget the vision of what they're really about, the church becomes a club. And sometimes those churches have big endowments and they can keep going for a long, long time, but somehow their focus changes. And instead of looking outward into the community and looking for the young people who need to know about Jesus, they look inward, and the church and the ministry and their agenda becomes about them and what they want in church. Friends and people of God here at Kingdom Embassy Covenant Church, do we realize that Jesus is still looking for those who are willing to hear his call, to follow him where he leads us, to learn from him what he teaches us in his word, and to join him in making disciples? And so my question for you today is, I leave and I don't know when we'll see each other again. It may not be this side of heaven. It may be one day when we are gathered around that great heavenly banquet table and we will have forever to be able to fellowship with each other. But the question I feel compelled to leave you with is, are you a disciple? Are you truly a follower of Jesus Christ? And are you living out that vision to know, to grow, and to go? Let's pray together. Oh Lord, I thank you for this time together in worship. And I pray that you would take this truth that we have heard today, and that, Lord, you would instill this within our heart. I pray today that you would give us the courage and the strength and the vision to hear your call, to follow you where you lead, to learn from your word, and to join you in making more disciples. Lead us, O God, as we reach the next generation for you, and send us from this place today with your blessing as we go out to fish for people through the power of your Holy Spirit and in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our Rabbi, we pray. And all God's people in agreement said, amen.
Maybe you out there and you realize in your heart that you want to make a change. And you want to do better. And you want to make a stronger commitment to being a follower of Jesus. That you want to live out your call of reaching out and help save someone else. Just want to let you in on a secret that God uses us to help save others. So if you're out there and you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, we want to offer him to you today. But if you know him as your Lord and Savior, and you have not truly been a follower of Jesus, we want to challenge you to make the day be the day that you recommit your life to Him. So if you want someone to pray with you, the altar is open for those who want someone to just touch and agree to help give you strength. Whether there's two or three touching and agreeing, Christ will be in the midst. So if you need someone to partner with you, the altar is going to be open. If you want to be a part of this awesome team of baptized believers, the doors are open to you. Would everyone please stand? If there's someone out there who wants to be a part of the Kingdom MC family, please come. If you're embarrassed, you're introvert, we ask you to see someone afterwards and let them know, and then we'll reach out to you. But don't leave the way you came. Pastor McGowan gave us a powerful message. So it's a serious challenge to each one of us to truly be followers of Jesus and use what God has given us to go save someone that's far away. Someone that's far away from God. So I challenge you today to think of someone that you know that is far from God, who God has given you influence that you can speak to. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this awesome, magnificent day. Thank you for Pastor McGowan and how you use him to let us know that we need to commit to being a true follower of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, how you allowed us an opportunity today to hear your word and make a change in our life for the better. Thank you for reminding us that our mission is to save souls. Our mission is not to just come to church, but be the church. So Lord, thank you. And Lord, as we leave this place, we don't ever, ever want to leave your presence. We can't do this thing apart from you. So hold our hand, Lord. Speak to our mind. Give us a desire to spend time with you so we can learn of you and be a true reflection of you. Watch out for us this week. Give us direction. Give us guidance. Help our light shine that others may see our good works and then give you glory and want to be a part of this awesome kingdom family. We thank you and we praise you and we magnify you and we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The altar is open for those who want prayer, for those who want to make a commitment. We have a team that's here to make a commitment with you. You can come up front. We have Brother Pastor, our youth pastor, Minister Terrio. God bless you. Have an awesome, magnificent week. God bless you and God be with you.